A local nonprofit known as Rid Racism Milwaukee is honoring four women in the Metro Milwaukee area with a Spotlight Award for the work they do to advance racial equity. Rid Racism is a coalition of individuals and organizations dedicated to building allies and dismantling all forms of racism. The winners are Erica Turner, Executive Director of Bridge the Divide, Jasmine Robertson, a youth organizer with Leaders Igniting Transformation, Camille Mays, founder and co-director of Peace Garden Project MKE, and Lynn Worley, co-founder of TOSA Together. WUWM race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell spoke with all four of the winners.
In a previous conversation I had with folks from Rid Racism, they compared doing social justice work to pushing a rock up a hill, and with every challenge and drawback, that rock slips a little bit. What have been some of the challenges you faced in your organizations? Jasmine, I'll have you answer that question first, and then Camille, you can jump in.
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is rapid response stuff. I work specifically in like education equity, and we touch a lot of other things at Lit, but that is our main goal, is to create a more equitable space for Black and Brown students in MPS, in the MPS system. But again, we live in this world, we live in this community where we know that so many other things happen that need attention and from groups like Lit and other social justice groups. So we can kind of get off track a little bit trying to make sure we react to everything or put a statement out to everything or to educate. Because education is a big piece of our work at Lit, being that I work with high school students. They don't just come out knowing about social justice and knowing where their voice fits in. So that is challenging. I mean, obviously, white supremacy in general, we get a lot of pushback from people at MPS or other people in the community. For example, Lit, one of the major things we've done and that is most notable, we organized around getting MPD out of MPS. And so now, obviously, you all hear a lot of discourse about the new school board candidates who want to put the police back into schools, even the mayor of Milwaukee. Other than that, you get a lot of people who smile in your face and want to work with you, and you leave that meeting feeling all pumped up, and then you never hear from them again because maybe what you're doing is a little bit too radical. Lit has gotten called radical so many times. And also, we are a group of young people. People, they just look at us and see a group of young Black and Brown people. And so there's a lot of doors that we can't enter that other groups can. For example, like the League of Women Voters. We hit up people and want to do voter registration and don't get a response. But obviously, the League of Women Voters is a group of old white women for the most part. So there's a lot of nuance that comes with being a Black and Brown organization, being young, and targeting youth. Our base is between 14 and 35. So there are just so many barriers, and it is like pushing that rock up a hill. But I like benchmarks. If I can get an inch up that hill today, that works for me.
A lot of the stuff that Jasmine has already said, I wonder a lot of times, it seems like the people with the funding don't have the passion, and the people with the passion don't have the funding. I say that over and over and over and over again. It frustrates me because it's way easier to me knowing a lot of the things that need to get done behind the scenes than what's being done. I feel like more can be done. I don't feel like all hands are on deck or all full effort. I really just don't feel that. And I feel like that's the biggest challenge. I just feel like everybody isn't putting all hands on deck. Because I know in the past, when everybody put all hands on deck, we saw people connecting. We saw violence going down. We saw a lot of people pooling resources together. And then all of a sudden, it kind of went down. And then we start seeing disparities shoot back up again. I'm not sure why the challenges are occurring. That's what baffles me. Because we have the people on the ground to do the work. So I'm just not understanding why the funding and the support isn't going to the people like the Jasmines and the young people who are out on the ground, who are involved, who are trying to make change. So the biggest challenge to me is knowing that we have a lot of resources, but not seeing everybody connect the dots and get the support that they need when we have everybody and all the pieces in play to do the work.
Hmm. So, Lynn and Erica, your work is done in predominantly white areas in the suburbs. I'm wondering, do you think there's a difference in addressing social justice in the suburbs versus Milwaukee, for example? Erica, you can take that first.
I would say absolutely. I think one of the disparities in the work is when you're in this all white community and you're in Milwaukee and you're like, okay, well, there are assumptions in Milwaukee. People know things. Maybe they haven't acted on them. Maybe they haven't made their voices heard. Maybe they're running from the discomfort, but you know that they know. So they're like, maybe they're starting at ground zero. I feel like in the suburbs, they're starting at -5, you know? So where we're trying to do some of that cross-cultural collaboration, and we want to link the suburbs with the city, but it's almost like they're not ready. We can't necessarily have somebody go sit at a seminar when they don't even have the basic definitions understood yet. Getting somebody to go to a rally or a march to feel energized when they don't even really think racism exists, right? Okay, well, maybe that police officer was in the wrong, but what'd that guy do? Well, he didn't do any, you're missing the whole point. So I think those gaps, they made me feel like in order to build the relationship with the people that were in my backyard, I had to start so, so slowly. So start far back and move so slowly. Well, Erica, you can bring them down here and they can do this. I'm like, they're gonna not understand, you know, say things that will harm everybody in the room and then leave the room saying, well, those Black people sure are ungrateful. You know, I went to Milwaukee, I worked at a soup kitchen and they didn't even say thank you. They're like, really? Okay, we need to have some other conversations. So I think the starting line is really much further back and they move at a much slower pace. And obviously that's a generalization, right? It's not everyone. There are some people that know a lot, do a lot of homework on their own and are moving at the speed of light. But I would say for the vast majority of folks, it's a longer, slower bend of that arc towards towards freedom, because they don't have a lot of understanding. And that's how I've kind of seen it in the last few years. Really slow, hard slog.
I totally agree with what's been shared and the ideas and the challenges. I want to add another dimension, which is that when we're organizing in a white suburb, which is home to many Black and Brown people, there's, when you work together collaboratively as a multiracial organization to organize, if that's a goal that you have, there are very different risks for white people doing anti-racism work and for Black people doing anti-racism work. And so as a white person, as an ally doing that work, I have to really gain that and keep always be thinking about that understanding that while I might care very deeply and it matters to me and I'm a parent of kids, you know, who do live through this, I still can walk away from it and shut it down if I need to. But the people that I'm organizing with, just the process of trying to make that change can be so traumatizing and so difficult and unnerving. And, you know, that I have to really respect and move at the pace that we can build the trust. We can't make this change by hurting people who are Black and Brown who are living in our city. We can't, I don't know if I'm saying it very well, but I feel like it's when you organize in a suburb, you and you're white, you have to recognize that your very work can be painful for the people you're working alongside of. And I think that's just so significant because you really have to think about how you do that work. You just can't march in and, you know, say, oh, it's got to change. This is deep, hurtful things. I think about, we made a decision the last couple of years to walk in the Wauwatosa 4th of July parade, and to put TOSA out there for that. And, you know, we had a lot of cheering. We had some other things, you know, some challenging. Mostly it was very welcoming, but the feeling of risk that I had was very different, if this kind of demonstrates it, from the feeling of risk that my colleagues organizing with me, who are Black and Brown, had decided to show up that day to walk in the parade through a dominantly white suburb. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation, that it's not the same experience, it's not the same story, and we have to figure out how to do that in ways that are true allyship and supportive, and make the space for people when they need to step back. That's really important, that organizing doesn't become something that that hurts someone even deeper than they already are struggling through hurt.
I want to thank all of you for sharing your experiences with me and being really candid about what you do each and every day. I'm wondering what makes this work worth it for all of you. We'll go Jasmine, Camille, Erica, and Lynn.
So many things make it worth it. I genuinely am passionate about youth and youth development. So each day that I just get to step away from this computer and actually even connect with them makes it worth it for me. When I see them take charge and have a voice at school board meetings, and when they're listened to, and then they come back and they say like, oh, they actually listened to me, or I didn't know that. This was a good meeting. They talked to me like I was human. All of those things make it worth it for me. And just knowing that, I mean, essentially, I'm also healing my inner child, healing my inner teen. I am a graduate of MPS. And unfortunately, the school that I went to now has tons of metal detectors and tons of these punitive procedures put in place that were not there when I was there. All of those things that I would not have wanted when I was their age, and that they don't deserve to have. And so see that I'm teaching them things, so they're fighting against those systems and becoming organizers and becoming people that also push the line. It brings me great joy.
For me, I like when I work with people or I speak to people and I know that they see me and they hear me. They don't just see the data, and the data is important, but they see more than an article or report data, where they see a human being that they can resonate with and understand and relate to. And what helps with that, or what I like to see most, is when they take it further and understand that it's other Camilles in the community, right? And it is not just me, this one person, that I represent a group of people in a community. And they're able to then personalize, humanize, empathize, sympathize, relate to things that they normally wouldn't. It's okay to reach people who already understand things. That's great. But I know the work is working when it reaches people who did not have the perspective, who tell me, this is what I thought before and this is what I think now. That's when I know the work is working. And seeing after the discussions, real work or real things being done after that, not just words to support it.
I do talk about with our groups as we're having these conversations, these difficult conversations, and we're sitting in that discomfort, we talk about celebrating the small wins. And you know, those compound over time as well. It seems like the tiniest thing to you in that moment, in that time. But seeing those things, like the tangible representation of, look, we did that. So having to tell several different layers of law enforcement officers my son's experience with police officers in my town, and, you know, having an officer stop and talk to him while he's walking probably a half a mile from our house because three different neighbors called the police about a random Black man in town, and they were worried and the police were doing their job. But having to continually tell that story and lay myself bare, and after a year and a half, knowing that there was actually a policy change with our city police department as a result of those experiences. So seeing that there is a tangible result at the end of a long and painful journey personally feels great. And with the small group that you have, with that choir as it's getting bigger and bigger, I think it also shows them that the work is worth it. And there are so many different ways to attack the problem without attacking the people. And that's kind of a mantra that we have, because it is important to speak truth to power. It is important to stand up for yourselves and for those that they may be voiceless, or their voice, they may have a big full voice that's just being ignored, but that you have to stand up, and you've got to toe the line. And it's difficult, but it can be done. And every little step, you've got to celebrate it.
I would agree. I think it's the two things. It's what you get done and can see in those moments when the rock does kind of stay put, where you push it. But it's also the relationships. And for me, we've tried to build Toast Together as much as we can into a multicultural, multiracial group. It's not easy in a city that is so white. And the moments when the people that I've worked with who are hurt all the time and every day and every moment by white supremacy turn to me and speak to me as an ally, who see me as an ally, for me, that's a very giving back moment. The trust, the genuine relationship is there. So that's one really positive experience. A second one is when I'm working with people in our city who benefit from, and daily and by the minute, from white supremacy. And they start to really dig into the work. They weren't sure that it was something they could do. They join a march, or they challenge something, or we have our Black History Month celebration coming up. It's like our eighth year of it. And you know, they step up and they plan and they organize in a way that they've never done before. You can't do this alone. You have to do this with people. You have to have that community. You have to have that company. I wish I was building these relationships for other reasons. I want racism to go away. I want white supremacy to end. But making the best out of it that I can is the relationships I've built across racial lines. And those sustain me. And those are some of the great joys in doing the work that I do.
That was WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter, Taryn Powell, speaking with the winners of Rid Racism Milwaukee's Spotlight Award. It honors organizers who work to address racial equity in the greater Milwaukee area.